welcome to Paris Christian Center tonight for our midweek service. Kelly, is it all right for anybody can just get a glass of water now, can't they? I just got me a glass of water. It's great. Are we ready? Now, is anybody else besides my wife hot? Is this you? Yeah. And I'm just a little bit loud, just a tiny bit. Thank you. Hello. I'm still a little bit loud, just a little bit lower, because I'm going to yell tonight. No, I'm not going to yell. I don't think I'm going to be yelling tonight, but I am ready to give you a word from the Word tonight. That you could live, that you can grow by. Let me just ask you, there's a lot of prayer that goes up at this church. We give prayer cloths and do all kinds of things. How many of you would say within the last month or so you've had an answered prayer due to that? Let me see your hands. If you have, if you haven't, okay, everybody look around. About half or more have. And we believe in prayer. We believe in prayer because prayer changes things. And I hope that you're learning how to meditate on the Word and how to pray the promises of God. If you would turn with me to Psalm 37 and 7 in the New Living Translation. And I'm going to share a message with you tonight. I just simply call Wait Patiently for God to Act. I think one of the hardest things I've seen since 1971 for folks to do, and one of the things I decided to master, was to be patient and wait on God. It's not easy to do. I think there are many wonderful promises, but we have to meet the requirement for the promise. So I'm going to share a message. Wait patiently for God to act. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Now, out of that verse, this is what I've got. First of all, it says, wait patiently for God to act. And God is not us. And I'm still too loud. I sound like I'm in a cave. There's something wrong there. Father, show him just exactly how to fix that. Hello. That's better. Can you still hear me? Yeah, I'm a big mouth. You can hear me. All right. Wait patiently. You prayed the promise. Now, what should you do before you pray the promise? You want to make sure as best as you can that God wants to answer that promise for you. So the next thing is one of the hardest things I've seen in Christianity is just to simply wait for God to move. People don't have that in them like they should. But be of good cheer. After tonight, you'll have this deeply seated in your heart. Wait for God to move. Wait, and then it says here, don't be concerned when evil people prosper. Don't compare yourself with others. You're you. You're like a snowflake. You're God's little snowflake. No two snowflakes are exactly the same. And you're one of them. And God loves you. And God won't forget you. And the promises in the Bible are for whosoever will. Whosoever will believe. Mary, you don't have another one of those, do you? Well, I'm telling you, that water tasted good. But Mary, usually when I forget, Mary will have one. Thank you, sister. Thank you very much. So, don't be concerned when evil people are prospering. It's like the devil will always put right in there some... Not always, but to some people have a problem with this. They see they see evil people prospering, and that bothers them. And see, that has nothing to do with your blessing, with your promise, with your answered prayer. It has nothing to do at all. And if anything, it slows you down, or I could just say messes you up when you're concerned about what's happening in other people's lives. Whosoever, if you're calling him Father when you get up in the morning, he knows who you are. He loves you. How many of you in here, as best as you know, you're a child of God? Yes. Well, good. Well, then you have, just bear with me, and I'm not preaching down to anybody saying that anybody's like this. I'm just saying throughout my whole Christianity, from the time I was 19 years old, people have a hard time waiting on God. And number three, don't fret about their evil schemes against you. Who's stronger? What does Romans 8:31 say? If God be for us, who can be against us? If you believe that, you'll do as David did and just quiet yourself. And he'll, you know what? God pulls one down and lifts one up. God will bless you. God will answer your prayer, your desire, no matter how great your enemies are. It doesn't matter because you're special. Nobody can replace you. Each and every one of you are wonderful and special. Okay? Now, there may be people that don't think you're special and wonderful, but God is a people, and he does. If you got God on your side, if God be for you, who can be against you? So the thing to have is a silent, blessed assurance that you're being heard because you're meeting the requirements. Remember, we talked about that last week. Meditating on the word of God and what that word there, where God told Joshua, you're going to meditate out of your mouth. You're going to learn those Bible promises. You're going to quote them. You're going to put up little cards in your bathroom and on your refrigerator. The one on the refrigerator might need to say, don't eat too much. Now, I'm doing real good. Can you tell I've lost weight? No, some of you can't. Well, I lost it by being very sick. I feel very sick tonight, but you know what? I'm here. You know why? Because this is what I'm supposed to do. And I told the devil, if you can stop me, stop me. Either stop me or shut up. Here I am. 5 pounds less, but here I am. So first, wait patiently. Why? Because to consistently get answered prayer the way that you want, one of the main ingredients, and you know, I'll bet you some of you might have noticed that too, that patience is not easily, you have to work at it. You have to learn how to acquire it. How are you doing, Keisha? What was you doing today, sweetie? Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Ernie and Mary, pray for her right now. She's one of our sisters. This word is important, but answered prayer is even more important. Will you receive from these two deacons here? Okay. Amen and amen. We love you, Keisha. We love our Keisha. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen and amen. Thank you, deacons. I told Ernie we were going to have him pray when it's close by like that. Ernie and Mary, they believe that God answers prayer, and they pray that way. And I'm sharing a message with you tonight entitled, Wait Patiently for God to Act on Your Prayer. You know, almost every prayer that we ask God, God has to act on it. And we have to be willing We are temporary beings here, and there's a lot of things that we don't know. And from what I can see, it's rare, special people that know how to just wait on God. Amen. Next verse, I'd like to try Psalm 46:10 in the New Living Translation, which says this: "Be still and know that I am God." See, another thing that I've noticed, and tell me what you think, it is harder and harder for us to just be still while we're awake. We have so many things going on. We're being actually attacked by the devil, wearing us out, wanting us to just depend on throwing a temper tantrum or doing something, pulling what Sarah pulled when God said, "Look, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son." And she said, "Well, you're too old. You're just an old fella." I was going to say a different word, but and you're just too old for that. So just take my handmaiden and have a child with her. That's what God was talking about. No. Try to decipher what God's saying. Try to pray intelligent prayers. Try to know intelligently what belongs to you. You know, answered prayer belongs to God's people. Be still. And being still is an act. It is a relevant, known act. What I'm saying, there are times if something's big enough and important enough, you may just need to take a half a day or a whole day and be still before God. And in that stillness, listen. Listen to what God is saying. And ask God, am I missing something? Lord, is there something I haven't got together on this here? And then listen. Listen. I'm going to tell you. Whoever meets the requirements, God will bless. But to be honest with you, you will become a quality person if you learn how to meet the requirements that God has. And being still, think about that. I don't want to hand lift it up or anything, but when was the last time you took an hour or a day and just said, "Lord, I'm just going to sit here and soak in what you have, and I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to believe. Teach me how to be still." Anybody here feel like you want to learn how to be still, better lift up your hand. Now do one more thing. Stand up. You know, every message is different. All I want to do is act on the word that I'm getting. Father, for everybody that's standing, they're saying, "Teach me how to be still. Teach me how to get heaven's answers." Everybody say heaven's answers. Say heaven's blessings. And everybody, you may sit down and let me share something with you. Honest to goodness, there are answers in heaven that you'll never get on earth without being still. God has the answers. God has the blessings that we need. Be still and know that I am God. What that really means is if you be still in the correct manner, you will know that I'm God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. And I guarantee you, honoring God has a lot to do with getting prayers answered, to honor God. Amen. Be still is a part of waiting patiently, which was our first verse, Psalm 37:7. Let's look now at Proverbs, and don't blink, because you know this doesn't take me very long. I'm hoping that you'll get this right away, because we're just going through this once. Okay, beloved? All right, Proverbs, let's see, where are we at? 20 and 22, NLT. Don't say, I will get even for this wrong. Then here it is again, guys. See, God doesn't like people to take things into their own hands. You know how I know? I've done that far too often. I've just taken things into my own hands, and I was wrong almost every time. Don't say, I'm going to get even for this wrong. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. One of my favorite verses that I like to quote out of the book of Romans is, recompense nobody evil for evil or railing for railing, but rather give place for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And can I tell you what I've learned about that? Boy, if I had a seat, I'd sit down right now. If I just had a chair somewhere, I'd sit down. Especially, honey, is there one of them tall stools or just anything? Yeah, I can see the bottom of a tall stool. I think that goes down on one of them, but I'm not sure how much it'll matter. Does anybody mind if I sit down? Good. Oh, all right. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you the most important reason why. Not for all the reason, all the times that you were right about the matter, but all the times you were wrong and you were too harsh, or you were directing at the wrong thing, or you were in error. See, this is where, what else comes in here? Faith. I'm not going to act. I'm going to wait on God. You can tell him, Father in heaven, I'm still waiting. Thank you. I've learned that I get things wrong sometime. Does anybody else feel like that? I sure do. Yeah. I get things wrong. I misread happenings in my life. That was a real good word when I was a hippie in 1970, 1971. Everything was a happening, man. What's happening? Que pasa? Tonight, if I could get just any one part of this into your heart, it will help you. If I can get you to just say, you know what? I'm gonna practice not taking things into my own hand. And this is just another verse. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. Wait for God to do it. Okay? It's important. I know I'm putting you to sleep, but I'm trying to, but for the one or two that's piercing your heart and saying, man, maybe this is something I need. Maybe I needed to come to church tonight and hear this. How many of you have been making a mistake like that? I'm not putting my hand. Okay. Look, I'm not. It was me, but I'm not telling that. We don't want anybody to know that we're just like everybody else. I can tell you, I have. And I'm trying hard. And I have not mastered waiting on God. But I've made strides that have helped me. And I've done it enough that I've reaped the benefits, you know, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins. Amen? Who heals all of your diseases. Now, I'm sorry. Well, no, Brother Angelo, God can't heal this. I mean, can't heal this one. No, God can heal every one of them. And you know what? This church has the kindness and grace. We're going to pray for you as often as you ask. And we're not going to question you if you don't get, you know, because we don't know. Does that make sense to you? It's all of a sudden you're being confronted. Why don't I just live a different life where I just said, God, you're in control. How many of you believe that God will protect you even if you ain't crying and mumbling about it? He will. He will, everybody. I want you to know you're special and you're worth it, and you're the reason he sent his son to die on that cross. Not people in another church or the person next to you. You're the reason that Jesus went to the cross at the behest of his Father. And it was so horrific the way Jesus understood it that three times in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, Father, if there's any way this cup can pass, let it pass from me. Let it pass. If anybody thinks Jesus was in a hurry to be crucified, there's one thing you don't understand. Jesus understood pain. It wasn't pain. He knew his Father was going to turn his back on him. My Father, why have you forsaken me? See, that was real. For the first time in all time, God turned his back on that sin that was put on him. Let's read it again. Don't say I will get even for this wrong. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. Oh my gosh. How many of you have ever just waited till God handled it? And it worked out better, didn't it? It does. It does. And what happens is, all of a sudden, we're not saying, God, get out of that dadgum seat where the steering wheel is. I'm going to drop. We're not saying that anymore. We're saying, Lord, I believe that you love me enough. There's only so much malarkey you're going to let me go through. And believing that in your heart, see, that's where you build these rich relationships with God that you can't even describe with our earthly tongue to others. But what the closest we get is when we lift our hands and we worship the Lord. And he knows from our heart to his that we love him and we're grateful what he's given us. All right, let's go on to the next verse. The next verse, I believe, is Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 31 in the King James Version of the Bible. This is where we switch from the NLT to King James. All right. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. People have lost their health. People have lost their lives by not waiting on God. You can get into a mental state that's hard to get out of. Some of us, I have nothing against therapy. I believe it works. But I believe the best therapy is fellowship with God. If we can get to that place in our lives, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. You got to learn how to be a child of God. You got to be taught by the Master. And you got to know how that all comes about. You got to know. You know what? I want everybody to believe here that you can understand this Bible. God doesn't answer my prayers because I'm a minister. God answers my prayers because I'm a son of God and I believe that he'll answer. And I just need to, you know what? And sometimes when I hear his voice speaking to me, Angelo, just give it a rest. Just give it a rest. I promise you it's going to be all right, son. Oh, that's so beautiful and wonderful when he speaks to me that way. A lot of what we have to pray about is, well, God, are you on my side or not? Well, before we can ask that, we better make sure we're right. Because if we're right, God will be on our side. And nobody, nothing, not an army, nothing can stop the fact that God is never in a position where he can't help you. God is never in a position where he can't be your best friend and your protector and your deliverer. He's never in a position like that. And you know what? He wants to bless you and help you more than you want his help. In just a moment, we're going to be on our knees. And whatever part of this, if some part is real special in your heart tonight, use that part to get ahead in your walk with the Lord. Some people go to church all their life and they don't get it. They don't get anything out of it. And that's not good. By the way, I'm going to say this. If there's a subject that you want preached here on Wednesday night, if you'll let me know, give me a note. And I want to say something. I said this to somebody. I think it was today. It sounds awful to say this, but there isn't a question in the Bible that I cannot answer you as good as anybody else in this world can. You know why? I made that my number one goal. So if you have something, don't wait for years and years. My wonderful daughter, Pastor Kelly, and her wonderful new husband, my wife, and I, we want to help you. We really want to help you. We really want you to get where you want to be with the Lord, and we know how. All right, let's go to the next verse. The next verse is Exodus 14 and 14, King James language. This verse stuck with me many years ago because I felt so attacked. I needed to know that somebody would fight for me. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And what that really means is, as you hold your peace, as you learn to trust God, God will fight for you in ways you never realized. He'll fight you for you more. He'll become more real to you with all of these attributes in the scriptures. If you grasp them and make them a part of your life, it's going to make your life richer because you're going to know the Lord more. You're going to know him more. And sometimes the blessing is just your fellowship and your knowledge, your relationship with God. It's just the most powerful people I've ever met were people that were just enjoying their life with the Father. And they loved him. They loved him enough to turn the other cheek. How do you turn the other cheek when somebody provokes you? Let me tell you something. You got to have something in here. You got to have something to hold your peace. Is there any good shows on tonight, Brenda? Survivor?
Yeah.
You don't get yours recorded?
I do.
Me too. Praise God. Thank God for, you know what? I've got most of the technology out of there. God's given me the money. I got most of it. I can. Well, let's move on to Psalm 130 and verse 5. Remember, you're hearing all these weight scriptures because I'm preaching a message. Wait patiently for God to act in your life, to make you happy, to help you. Wait patiently. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Now, when you put waiting and his word in the same sentence, that's the truth. That's what helps you. You know what? When that word begins to hit you like a lightning bolt, and you just know that his promise is real and that he means it, fully intends to help you, that's when your soul gets involved. And that's what we're seeing here. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. In other words, you're waiting. It's got into a different realm. It's got into a realm where it can do some good. It's in your soul, man. You're getting this deep inside of you. You're getting it. You know when it gets down in there? David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, O Lord. When that word gets inside of you, ain't no devil, ain't no nothing can take it away from you. It's impossible. You just know. You just know that you know that you know. How does that happen? I wait for the Lord. And my soul waits. And I found it in the word where it's mine. I know he's going to help me. I don't know because I see outward signs. I know because I have inward signs in my heart. I knew, for instance, one of these days we were going to buy these houses that were here. I didn't have to tell people and say it 30 times and tell 30 people. I just knew. And all of a sudden, those houses were just dropped into our lap. A very nice friend said, look, I'm going to help you with this here. I can knock these down and take each one of them away for about $4,200. I didn't even blink. I said, nah. And I didn't tell him what I was going to do. Because the Lord already told me, no, you're going to sell them. Every last stinking one of them. And we sold them. We got all our money, didn't we, sweetie? They paid us to get something out that we needed removed. And you know what? I don't even want to put a limit on what's going to happen next with that manna center. All I know that God birthed the manna center in my daughter's heart. And when she began to say, manna center, manna center, I began to pray manna center. The next thing I knew, we had a $300,000 grant. Now, the gospel's free, but the plumbing's expensive. That's not enough money. But you know what? The rest of it, I can feel it. It's on the way. It's on the way. You're going to walk over in that. You're going to see it. You're going to experience it and get and capitalize on getting the blessing of it. Each and every one of us are. Is there anything better than helping somebody else? I don't think there really is. My wife comes out there. That doesn't surprise me. I think Pastor Kelly said just a few minutes ago, well, we're out there, and she was doing one thing, and she was praying at the same time. My wife loves to pray. And she's really good at praying for healing because she's the best registered nurse that I know. Anytime I'm really wondering if I'm dying, I always ask her. So far, so good. Meditating on God's word is not something I pulled out of my butt. It's real. Meditating. You find that promise. You write it on a card in your house, and you quote it. You say it. Philippians 4:13. You're going through something hard? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I don't have to look it up. It's in my heart. It's hidden in my heart. I have needs coming up. I don't know how the answer is going to come. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory through the finished work of the cross through Christ Jesus. Over and over. We got some bad, bad news in our taxes this year. There was some problems. Some things were not handled correctly. We ended up owing thousands more. Millie, come up here with me. Coco can come too. Stand and look at these people. Did God meet all of our needs? Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. Amen. You want to say anything? I got one more verse. You want to say anything?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. Final place tonight. The eyes of all wait upon you, O God, and you givest them their meat in due season. In due season. Everybody say in due season. That phrase is very important. See, did you ever stop to think, maybe it ain't time yet. Maybe it ain't the right time. Well, what's time got to do with it? Well, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Maybe it just ain't time. Somebody hear me tonight. I know there's only a few of you here. Hold on. Hold on tonight. God didn't say no. It might not be just the right time. The eyes of all wait upon thee. And thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The wildlife, everything. I mean, the bugs, everything. Man, I got bugs just waiting for my tomato plants to get a little bigger. Now, I'm going to try to keep them alive. I'm going to seven dust the fire out of them. But it's time for you to examine your heart. Not because I said so, because 1 Corinthians chapter 11 said, examine your heart, then take communion. Let's examine our heart. Make an altar where you are. Come to this altar with me if you want to.